Hey-o!
Hey, Bills is drumming over there, man.
Jamming out, man.
This is having a good old drumming time.
What's happening, fellas?
Yeah, what is up? Happy KOTG Tuesday.
Episode 145.
145. We're almost 150.
Crazy.
Never thought we'd get past one.
We have like 500,000 YouTube views too. So that's, that's crazy to think about that. Half a million.
Probably a third of those are probably me, maybe, or there,
you know. You just put it on repeat all the time. Playlist on repeat, talk. You know.
Double speed, you know, pump those numbers, you guys. No, that is awesome. That's pretty legit. That's really cool.
Well, welcome, guys.
Yes.
How's everybody's winter going so far? Does it feel like winter for you?
No.
We're like in the 50s, man.
I feel like it's fall spring right now. It's
yeah.
Yeah.
For it to come back around.
Like, finding the sun's coming up before work, you know, you get a minute to maybe wander the driveway a little bit and look at the grass, you know, and kind of get the bug going, you know. Should I put some humic down yet? Is it too early? I don't know.
I don't know. Soil temps are probably going up, so who knows?
You know, I'm afraid the temperatures will probably drop again in a couple weeks. I'm like, when's Groundhog Day? How far away is that one? When will we find out? I don't know.
Is that February 2nd or something?
Up here, yeah. That's Friday, February 2nd.
Yeah.
That's two days from
now.
I was looking at my memories from last year, and on this day it was -20, so I will not complain about we'll 30, take it. We'll 35 take it. Degree day.
When the sun's out and there's no wind, it's nice, man.
Yeah.
If it sees the shadow, what?
It's like some more weeks of winter or something. I don't know. Does anybody in the chat know what the rule is? Whatever it is, I know it's not good.
As long as it's not six more weeks of winter, whatever that one is.
Yeah.
We want the early spring one.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, enough chit-chat. Let's get this show started, shall we? Welcome, everybody, to Keep Off the Grass live cast. How about we all grab a glass? Keep off the grass. Let's get the show started.
Well, he's sipping still working on that 20-pack?
12.
12-pack?
Yeah.
What's it from?
Taking his time.
Taking my time.
He just got this morning.
Oh, is that from this morning?
No, I'm just kidding.
I must have missed the story.
Only time I buy beer in the morning is if we're at the beach.
That's true.
Nice.
Or if you're camping. If you're camping.
Or GA.
Yeah.
Possibly that, too. Who's going?
All right. So who do we have joining us tonight? We have Peter from Grasshopper. Welcome. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us tonight. It sounds like we're going to get a little bit of different perspective than we've had before. Chatting with you a little bit before the show, your background is more in kind of the social media side of things, or kind of the marketing side, the 21st century side of stuff, which is kind of different. It's something we haven't chatted with folks before. So, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Maybe, you know, how you kind of got connected with Grasshopper and what you do over there, and we'll take it from there.
Perfect. Well, yeah, thanks first for having me on, guys. This is exciting. And if we get to 500,000, it's most likely for the fact that you five were building something special versus me and the elephant providing the tick. But really, you know, my background, I grew up wanting to be Jerry Maguire. I wanted to be a sports agent. I wanted to do big deals. I used to joke with my grandfather, just deals. That's all I ever wanted to do. I got there and realized how honestly competitive it was, even on Saturday and Sunday, and realized that my priorities were going to be elsewhere the older I got. And so I just decided to look elsewhere in the brand marketing representation space. And I happened to get on social media around the time where I was thinking of leaving. And I started seeing the blue collar, the trades, your landscapers, your roofers, your drywallers with hundreds of thousands of followers, and kind of had an aha moment that realized that maybe these guys, because I know I'm half Greek, and the Greek side of my, all of my Greek cousins work with their hands. So all of those guys, I was thinking about them and saying to myself, well, maybe they don't know what they're doing, or maybe these marketing companies, these big name brands are leveraging the fact that they also know this. And so I just started to dabble a little bit, research a little more, and realize that these brands were newer to the space. And so were guys that were in this, that were also tradesmen, were also dabbling, most likely new in this space. So I just felt I could be a resource to this community when it came to bridging the gap with marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I realized most of the guys that do this kind of work get up very early and work all day outside and don't have cushioned seats to sit on and look at, you know, Wi-Fi and internet all day.
Right. And yeah.
Come home after a long shift and they have families and kids, and now they have to edit videos, and now they have to be wizards on social media to compete. And so that's essentially what I've been able to eliminate for some of these people, some of these types of guys and companies, is just the idea that you can go home and not have to do that and work with someone like my team that can allow you those freedoms back. But it's all about knowledge and sharing that, really, because over time, if I'm doing my job correctly, eventually you're not going to need me, you know. So just depends on how big you want to be, because some people use brand marketing as a secondary source of income, and some use it and are trying to use it as a primary source of income. So it just depends on what route you want to take with it, because it's, you need to know that before you really start going, because it's a wild game.
So go ahead.
Yeah. So essentially I started researching all the expos to go to, and the Equip Expo in Louisville, Kentucky came first and foremost, right fold center. And ironically, I did a tour there when I was thinking about going to college, and I learned how to say the town and albino squirrels and all the weird stuff that happens there. But I'm from Springfield, Illinois. So I took the 5-hour drive south and went to the Equip Expo, and I knew a lot of brands that were going to be there, and started making videos just on my own time and editing them and posting them to my agency page. And it got a lot of traction, and ultimately Grasshopper took a peek and saw it and asked me to come to their booth, and, you know, met the family kind of idea, as Grasshopper's in their third generation family business.
So you were there kind of as an individual, and you just busted out you brought out what, GoPro or Nikon or something, and just started grabbing some iPhone and just started taking some shots and cut it up, and we're posting it, and they saw that, we're like, man, this is kind of cool, you know.
You dub music over it, you write a good call to action button, you get the engagement, and you just it's like a live interview almost, you know.
Awesome. Yeah right on, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right, so they called you over, and that's kind of how you got to chatting with them and kind of went from there.
Yeah. And found a lot of relatable qualities about who they were. I mean, they could have been any of the booths selling any of the items at Equip. I mean, Equip's a big expo. I mean, it's, everything is there. And so you learn running your own business. And ironically, my family, we've been the dentist in our small town for 105 years in a row. You learn people can get their teeth cleaned anywhere. So it's like the way you do business is important. So meeting the family at Grasshopper, knowing that they're a family business, third generation, it's an important. And then you meet the employees there, and the employees there have been there for over 30 years, you know?
Wow, yeah.
And so if that's the type of people that are going to be at a company, you're probably going to get the equivalent quality when it comes to the product that they're serving you, if the people there are been there for so long. So if they're treated well, the products are probably treated well.
Yeah.
So I just took that to heart pretty much.
Is that something that you think maybe sets Grasshopper apart, or that's kind of a major selling point for them is that they've been around for a while, and certainly a company like this wouldn't be around that long if they didn't have those kind of attributes. Is that something that, as you guys got talking, like what are some of the qualities, that kind of stood out to you that set them apart from other companies, let's say?
One prime example that's happened over the course of knowing them now for over a year and a half is we did the first ever giveaway for Grasshopper just this past year at Equip, and we gave away the stand-on 52-inch deck. And the winner was CNC Landscaping. He's out of Arkansas. Mm. And he came up and did a whole tour of the facility. And
that's awesome.
But who gave the tour of this facility was the president. And who is the president? It's the guy on top. It's like the grandfather, the godfather added to, it's the family. You're meeting the family.
That's and awesome.
He gave the tour,
That's really cool. Yeah.
And so the fact that that happens at Grasshopper, and it's not you're not walking into an Apple store kind of
attitude. Sure. Yeah.
It's nice. It's a lawnmower, right? So it's like a home product, it's business for Grasshopper, it's commercial, but it's the home, it impacts your home. So it's kind of nice to have those types of people. And I know you buy from dealers, right? Everyone buys through the dealerships and everything, but ultimately it trickles up.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was, that's a great example of just like the personality you get mm-hmm. when you go there and meet the people and know their business.
So is there anything, what's going on with Grasshopper right now? What's, what are you trying to promote? What's hot? What's going on?
Well, as you guys are probably aware, the stand-on mower was the newest addition this past year. And
yeah, on episode 101, if you guys didn't see that, we had, remember his name, but we had him on, and he introduced the, stand-on, and we learned a little bit about that, but yeah, continue. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's actually the one we ended up giving away too at the expo. And ultimately, it's the race to be first is pretty prevalent in the modern world. And it's almost, if you're second, the idea, the perception that you're going to have to climb beyond twice as high just to get to first. And the idea that, Grasshopper didn't come out first with a stand-on lawnmower, not even second, or anything like that. But the fact that when they came out, there's no backtracking. There's no more research and development, kind of ideas. It's, they took their time, they polished it, they clean it. So they mow the White House, right? And they mow the federal parks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they mow the White House, they mow the federal, they have a contract with the federal parks, they were there doing a presentation for when all like the best small businesses from each state was represented, and Grasshopper was there for Kansas. And the family was there, and they brought Armor Ball to spray on the tires to make it look really polished and clean.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And our own government's military vehicles and other security vehicles didn't have, they were all dirty, and they borrowed Grasshoppers to polish off their vehicles. So the idea that Grasshopper was overprepared,
that's awesome,
to be at the White House was, it's hard to get to the top. It's hard to be successful. And it's just as hard as it to be very unsuccessful. So just the fact that these things kept showing up when I was researching Grasshopper, I was like, okay, well, this makes sense, So Grasshopper coming out with anything new, if you're ever going to see it, they're not going to be coming out breaking news. It's most likely the industry's already been talking about it for a year or two, and Grasshopper will then perform when they're, essentially when they're ready to. So it's nice. It's nice to be around that type of company when the reality is most people, I mean, it's layoff season right now. And so it's just, it's nice to be around those who have reachable and obtainable goals and understand them themselves.
So what, so going into 2024, this upcoming season and your guys's kind of brand strategy, your online, I guess kind of how you guys are going to approach social media and stuff going forward.
Yep.
Have you guys started working on kind of an overarching theme or, you know, what is some of the stuff that goes into planning this for a, you know, company like Grasshopper, where we're going to get into the springtime and, you know, this is when all those landscapers are out there putting out their videos and stuff. You know, what are some of the things you guys are doing to kind of, I don't know, be a part of that excitement for spring?
Sure. So one of the Instagram, social media in general, the way we like to look at it over at our team is it's a game. It's about winning and losing. It's not about taking the same piece of content and using it for your newsletter, then using it for your Instagram, then using it for your TikTok, then using it for whatever purpose elsewhere. It's really a game. And once you realize it's a game, then it becomes much easier to treat it like that versus just another thing you have to do.
It's like its own beast, you're kind of saying.
Yeah.
Like you have to have a different approach than just your standard marketing material you would just re-hash for website and landing page here. And is that kind of what you're saying?
Absolutely. And with Grasshopper and with any brand, really, you have to understand who your audience is and how they want to be talked to. And the way Grasshopper and the way we're approaching 2024 is an extension of 2023, but at a more frequent clip. Because essentially the simplest advice I can give to anyone on social media is to be consistent. And so if you're going to say to yourself, I'm going to post 3 times a week, the follow-up thought is I better have enough content for 3 times a week. Because if you set your goals and you can't accomplish them, and then all of a sudden you become inconsistent, then the algorithm, your followers, it's almost like your favorite TV show. If you know it's on 5 o'clock on Wednesday every week, you plan around it. That's kind of cool. You make it possible. And then when you're consistent and you get up to maybe once a day, which is a lot, then you can hit a home run every once in a while if you show up to the plate, you know, every day.
Sure.
And so that's the key is to be consistent and then to set your goals to manage appropriately so that if you want to post once a day, make sure you have the appropriate content to get to that frequency, because you just don't want to slow. You can't pull off layers. You can add, but once you start slowing down your frequency, what you set the bar at, then you're doing a disservice to yourself on social media.
And so you're saying this with experience, like we don't got to say what specifically, but you've had accounts, highly successful accounts, correct?
Yeah. What one account particularly that we tested a lot of these theories on, we got to a frequency of posting twice a day. And for 3.5 years, it grew to 789,000 followers.
Dang.
And with that, it was more of a community page. It became almost like a sports center of the trades. And so that's kind of a similar approach we want to take with Grasshopper. It's essentially, if you're in the trades and you're using a Grasshopper and you want to promote your business, see Grasshopper as an amplifier, because Grasshopper wants to help you grow your business, because it makes perfect sense why they want to help you grow your business. And
it helps grow your business, you know? Yeah.
Right. And then it becomes a community where, mm-hmm. Hey, did you see I got posted on Grasshopper? And then, you know, your friends are within the same community and you compare your stripes, you compare different attachments. It's a conversation piece. We're on a podcast talking about the lawn space. So it's a relevant conversation for many people, and creating a community versus spamming people with discount codes or, you know, just frivolous things. It's cooler and it's more appropriate. You get to be a hero. Essentially, you get to be the hero that got them more publicity on a page that people go to.
So you're looking to kind of highlight different, I guess, landscapers and folks out there, you know, using your guys' stuff, you know, I guess, you know, obviously they would be getting some footage or somebody would have to get some footage while they're out there. But is that kind of where you're hoping to kind of highlight folks throughout the season as they utilize Grasshopper equipment?
Yeah. So what we're doing this year is the first year was more of a prove it year. Just, you know, get your, you know, you're meeting a family business. So it's not this big agency that can just cut ties and move on and just not care honestly about you. So year two, yeah, we're going to be, we're working with, we're basically going to have drone camera work, videos, and we're going to be working with the dealers to go communicate with who their number, you know, who their best grasshopper customers are, and then ultimately go to those job sites, you know, ourselves, capture that content, and then, you know, like just almost like a game show that you have ever seen. They film those all on Monday, you know, all of them, and then cut them all up, then show them Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday through Wednesday or Tuesday.
So you're gonna have like, you're gonna send crews out. So that would be like, you guys need to come to my house. That would be my dream. So what we need is a team of guys, you know, whatever it is, three angles or something, where I could just be cutting my grass. Y'all can be flying your drone around, getting some slow-mo shots, and then we could just sit down and cut some badass. So is that kind of like what you want to do? Some fun energy, you know. I don't know. That's pretty cool, man. If I was a landscaper out there, I think it'd be pretty sweet to have somebody come out and just kind of basically make a hype video or something, you know, almost for you and your company, you know, highlighting grass. I mean, that would be so cool. I think that's a cool strategy.
It's double dipping, because then the end user is that customer of Grasshopper, but that they most likely have their own commercial business that's attached to that Grasshopper. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately it's a thank you while also being creative.
Cool.
So we're currently mapping that out. It's, you know, January still, but we're mapping that out, which dealer, which guys within the dealer, and really trying to connect to make it worth it. Because in reality, if you have a lot of jobs on a couple, in a 48, 72 hour period, that can last you however, really how long you can make it, 30, depending on the photo frequencies or how many videos you make out of it. It could be 2 months. You can get 2 months of content out of that.
Guys, I think, I don't know, Chase, that lawn dude, he's a landscaper that's on social media. He's huge. He's one of the guys that I follow, and I, you know, he makes cool content, but he's got one of those drones, kind of like what Oli does. But he has the benefit of going to all these properties, you know, on a daily basis, and he just has these beautiful yards to choose from, and it's like, that is really cool. So you know, similar with you guys, if you guys find these I don't know, these crews, and I don't know if you can get the okay to find some cool properties where you can make some real satisfying content, you know, some stripes or whatever it may be, you know, I think that'd be really sweet to see. I think that'd be really cool and different than what a lot of other companies are doing. It seems like, you know, they're just basically putting commercials up, or you're just your standard stuff you'd see on Facebook, or, you know, I don't know, nothing different, or I don't know. This is a different approach. I'm excited. I hope it does well for you guys.
It's almost just user, the whole term user generated content. It's really that. It's going to become, it's the end user just mowing their lawn as if they already were. And then that's going to become the content versus, like you said, just sponsoring and, you know, any kind of opportunity with sponsorship. But also you see, I mean, I don't know about you guys. Have you guys kind of been seeing this industry take the route of mergers and acquisitions, just like many other industries do? So it becomes a little less, like, how do you guys see social media typically playing out within this industry?
You mean as far as companies and their
different? Yeah, you said, like, you just mentioned that's a different approach. So I was just curious where you typically see the approach, like what approach.
I mean, a lot of people want to send you stuff, and some content creators even ask for free stuff, and then it's kind of evolved, I think, into them paying for the content, them sending you the stuff, and then them paying for the content. you know, we'll give you 150 a video, 300 a video or a reel, or, you know, $500 for three reels. So I think that's kind of how it's evolved. And that's probably the main kind of route a lot of people go. But like you, like you could, like if you filmed a company, I like the idea, because if you filmed, you know, some mowing company, even if like people from, you know, that area don't follow Grasshopper's Instagram account, they could even advertise, hey, as seen on Grasshopper Instagram, mm-hmm. you know, like just to give them some like legitimacy.
Yeah. Virtual or a video business card, essentially, idea. Yeah. Validation.
Well, I was going to say, probably, you know, a couple of years ago, a lot of the social media interaction was probably just an email or a message or a handshake. Whereas now it's got to the point of, you know, there's so much more competition and there's many more players in the game. Whereas now, like, everything's like on a contract, you know, so like you'll have companies reach out and they want you to sign this contract and they want you to have this, and, you know, Zach, to your point, yeah, they'll pay. And, you know, maybe doing a 1 minute video, you get, you know, a couple $100 for it. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's almost like they can control your content. Cause they want you to say these things. And then to me, it kind of takes away some of the freedom of how you want to use the product and how you want to showcase it. And so like me personally, like some of those I've stayed away from them, or I haven't continued those relationships just cause
it's like, they don't understand that they want you to basically make a commercial, and that's not what people want to see on social media. Everybody, as soon as you watch something that even remotely smells of like, oh, this guy's pushing something, because boom, I'm out of here. You have to make something that's fun and engaging where you happen to be using their stuff.
Yeah.
And you just show them why it's useful and helpful. You know what I mean?
Some literally come with a script. You know, it's like you need to have these five talking points, and it's like, okay, that's all my video was your talking points. And I had to make my video to support the talking points. And so like to your point, Bill, I just made a video commercial for them, which had absolutely zero of my creativity because I didn't have that free reign.
And so then when you see it, especially from our perspective, when you see people making those kind of videos, it's like, man, get the fuck out of here and like swipe it up. Like,
I mean, there's
you know, people. The difference if you're giving a shout out, you know what I mean? Like, oh, dude, you guys, like for guys like us, where we would appreciate guys within the community that are kind of like locked in, not necessarily guys that have public accounts, but guys that safe would follow us. You know, if you get the hookup from a company and you make a post about it, that's one thing. But if you're out here literally making a commercial because you got a, you know, some free fertilizer, I don't know. It's not going to go viral if it feels like a commercial.
There's also like, you know, the bigger names, you know, they probably get hit up by every company. So you got guys out there that have five different lawnmowers and tell me how great all five lawnmowers are. And, you know, to everyone's point here, it's like they start losing credibility. Like, there's people who I used to be friends with and I used to follow and talk to all the time. And I'm this close to deleting them and blocking them because I'm sick of just, they're making content, you know, there's motive behind it for either income or whatever it is. They're not just making content for the love of making content in their own yard anymore. It's, well, you know, you're on a contract, you know, you're making money, you know, you got free mowers.
Obligatory almost.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. I just got to the point where I think back this way. It's like, you know, maybe 3 years ago when we came into the scene, there was some kind of OGs that kind of hated on us. And now I'm kind of starting to see it now, because like we've been doing it for several years, and, you know, not, no offense to anyone, but there's, you know, new players that come to the game and they're very aggressive and they post in every day and they're just like, you could tell they're pushing products. And there's a lot of connections, and it's just like, damn, you know, like, how many mowers do you need? How much, you know, do you really need five fertilizer companies to promote? And there's a difference, to Bill's point, huge difference between promoting and saying, you know, yada, yada, versus like, hey, I use this, I like it, I'm just letting you know about it. Or here's some fun facts about this product. Not, you know, every single video has a click here for a discount code, click here to use this, click here to buy this, you know? So I think it's changing more to just the people are no longer just making lawn content to make lawn content. in their backyard. Now it's okay. I have to make a video. I have to post every other day. I have to, you know, this contract says I have to do 20 videos. So I got to squeeze that in. And, you know, it's like, Jesus Christ, like, what do you do for a, like, for real in life, you know?
Like you were saying too, I think there's a lot more accounts have been created in the past 3 years or so since we started, because I remember when we started, we had a group chat, and then I mean, pretty much everybody that was in there was the only guys I knew. I mean, I knew other accounts obviously, but I mean, those were like at least 50% of the lawn accounts that I knew, whereas you guys and whoever else was in there at the beginning, like there's like 13. And so like, and then now like, yeah, there's, thousands. I mean, I'm following like 1,000 people and most of it's lawn people.
Yeah.
So, and those are good points, because that's earlier on when I was mentioning secondary versus, you know, primary income that now people are using social media for. It's, you know, it's a hard decision to make, because if you are posting every day in making, playing in that lane, you're most likely going to get these brands to call you. But then at the same time, are you taking away from the fact that you're making money mowing lawns? And so is your goal to get more lawns? Because if your goal is to get more lawns, then it's perfectly normal to ignore brand deals and focus on making good content that leads you to someone reaching out saying, I saw XYZ video of yours.
Yeah.
And I think now I would love you to do that in my backyard.
Yeah.
And then if that client is a new homeowner or whatever they are, you know, own a dentist practice, then you can mow their lawn for, you know, for 20, 30 years. That's better than a brand deal that then can go get the new guy next year and pay him a third of what you have, because he's got less responsibilities, less debt, and ready to take whatever he can get.
Yeah. So I definitely, you have to think about what's the point of what you're doing? What are you trying to accomplish? And I think for a brand, obviously the goals of what they're doing is very different. You know, you guys, your goals are different. Individual small businesses that are within the industry and utilizing your equipment are different. We're different. And then, yeah, like you said, people that do social media, online stuff full-time or even just part-time, everybody has their own kind of motives behind what they do. I feel like if you're having fun with it and you're trying, and you're genuine in what you're doing, you know, that people will see that over somebody who's doing stuff out of obligation, or you know that they're doing stuff that they don't really need, but because they're getting some kind of, you know, monetary, whatever, they're going to do it anyway. I think people are getting smart to that. You know, there's a lot more people out there that are getting savvier, and it's much easier to find information. And, you know, so, you know, I think in the long run, genuine stuff, original stuff, organic stuff, and you know, engaging, it's got to be entertaining first and foremost, otherwise people won't even watch it. But beyond that, it's people like realism. That's what we're here for. You know, television and movies, that's you know,
it's almost like the Equip Expo, where if it's almost like the change of Instagram too, where if you're on the you're inside at the Equip Expo, you know, and lawnmowers are basically inside a glass case, and then you go outside and they're all covered in mud.
Yeah.
And that's how Instagram's even changed. Instagram was just your shiny photo in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's reels, 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 video, mm-hmm. video, and showing the application of products versus QVC in it and just bullet pointing and saying the 8 different things that you wanted to say. Rather than saying them, you perform them on the machine mm-hmm. itself.
Well, like what you were saying earlier, how you, your previous accounts, you had these folks in the trades, and I mean, I get sucked into watching plumbers changing toilets and guys redoing PVC. I mean, it's just like, I can't help it. And that, and you know, I think there's a satisfying aspect to it. There's the fact that it's a skill set that I don't have, and it's intriguing, you know, and you see this person who's very competent at what they're doing. And even if it's like, you know, so, you know, they don't have to necessarily be telling you what they're doing. They could just be telling you an anecdote or, you know, whatever, doesn't matter, but just seeing something, somebody doing something competent that maybe I don't do or see on a regular basis. That's really cool. And I think that is something where we're highlighting these landscapers and stuff. There is, I mean, people love this content. I mean, and it's something that anybody can relate to. Everybody that's our age, you know, not everybody, but lots of folks have yards and homes, and, you know, there's an appeal there. And I think, you know, having it seem genuine and showing off real people doing real stuff on real properties, but making it look cool is what would, I don't know. That'd be really cool to see, I think.
Well, you look at like, the S&B mowing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He started a trend that, you know, he went out to these overgrown properties and just starts cleaning them up. And Bill, to your point, like, I just watch those because I'm just like, so I want to see what the end's going to look like, you know?
Yeah.
But if you ever go to his YouTube page and just look at the videos themselves, I don't think he's got a single video under 1 million views.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's ones with millions of views, you know what I mean? And it's consistent and it's crazy, you know, just to think that someone's just going and cleaning up some overgrown yards and millions of people are just sitting there watching it. I don't know.
You know
I mean, he found a niche there because I can't remember anyone doing it before him.
The lawnmower guy down in Australia, he does it for free, but he has Free Mow Fridays, but then he also has himself doing properties and same thing, man. I mean, people love it. I don't know. Yeah. And he's just a dude. I mean, I think that's what the appeal is. These are just guys out there doing
calls everyone thing. Legend.
Yeah.
But what I was getting to is what you're going to see is now you're going to see 10, 20, 50 people trying to do that.
Yeah.
Because A, they're seeing, oh, there's millions of views here. So now I'm going to try and do that and capitalize on, you know, the hot trend or the views and all that. And like I said, that's when it starts losing kind of its luster and stuff like that.
Be yourself. Do your own thing.
Yeah.
So at that point, Peter, are you involved in, does Grasshopper have a YouTube presence? Are you guys, have anything going on, you know, an approach to, I don't know, YouTube versus say Instagram?
There are different approaches to take with YouTube coming out with shorts in the last couple of years. It's awfully similar.
Yeah.
You can say to the rest of the players, long form content still. If you can create long form content and make it really worthwhile, which, you know, Nate was mentioning with the SB mowing guy, those are long form, those are long videos. Those are not just quick hitters. And if you can create the short form is like getting into residential real estate and starting to make your investments work. And then all of a sudden they're working and you get into commercial because that's where you can make, you know, retirement money.
YouTube is the real money.
Yeah. YouTube, you can make, because there are even blue collar guys in the construction space that I'm aware, you know, very aware of that even off Facebook ads where making Facebook ad revenue, YouTube ad revenue, where they just get all the materials donated. And then they build something that they own.
Yeah.
That
has been essentially my approach to this is
then they get cash from ads.
Yeah.
So it's a self, I mean, truthfully good for this type of industry. I'm glad after working with pro athletes and doing their brand marketing deals and the numbers that you get, it's nice to see guys that are, you know, within reach, obtainable guys that you talk to, go to the barbecue, you know, go to the bar with, go hang out with, actually have, you know, common similarities with. It's nice when your fellow guy is crushing it. I think it's great.
It definitely kind of democratizes the entry because, you know, anybody can give it a shot. You know what I mean?
The barrier of entry is low for social
media. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you could just, that's kind of how any one of us started doing this stuff with no kind of expectations, I don't think, but yeah, you know, I don't know, as long as you're having fun and you're doing it, you know, that my whole goal was just to have fun. And then as things kind of came my way, ultimately was like, okay, well, can I make my lawn care free? Essentially, can I make content enough to where, you know, my wife can't complain about how much I'm spending in the yard because I'm not really spending much in the yard. And I'm kind of, that's where I'm at. And I'm like, this is great. I love making videos. I like having fun and sharing what I'm doing. And as long as my lawn care is free, that's all I expect. I don't, you know, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I think a lot of guys, if you know, I mean, that's, I think for
you really don't need the hundreds of thousands of followers to have any, to have those impacts and have those brand deals. I mean,
you have 100,000 followers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to. You don't have to, especially if your goal is just to, you know, I've seen guys, you know, getting some hookup from Anderson's, right? Those this week I've seen some posts, you know, I mean, there you go. You know, I don't know. It's pretty cool.
You just got to be aware that, like you've mentioned, you guys all mentioned today already, that there are people that already have five of everything. And there's something called fatigue. Mm-hmm. There's real fatigue. There's influencer fatigue, all types of stuff. That's why brands fluctuate between different types of people all the time. But if you're the micro influencer with a potent offense, with a potent following, you know, where everyone is literally paying attention to you, then that's way more powerful to a lot of these brands than somebody with just an obnoxious number that you're hoping that half of them aren't preteens or something like that, you know? So it really can benefit you to just be yourself, as Ollie Poole said earlier, and just work on that, you know, and just Bernie Mac says it well, really well too. But ultimately, if you do that, then brands will notice and you'll find one that probably will pay your bills, that one, and give you the opportunity to mow for free, you know? So it just depends your outlook on it, really. If you're thinking it's going to be your career, I'm just going to just warn everyone.
I don't think not for our space. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you're one of those guys,
just to clarify, we all are DIY enthusiasts.
That's true.
So we actually don't have businesses. And so it's like actually kind of a different little niche, but we also, you know, we're still kind of intertwined, you know? Mm-hmm. To his point, he can maintain his own home lawn to the highest level that we strive for free.
Yeah, especially if you like it. Especially if you like it. I would like, if any of my hobbies and things I like were free, that would be great. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I'm stir crazy. We haven't had like snow days. We've had ice and freezing, too cold to go to school and wait for the bus days. And then now all my kids have the flu and fevers, and my wife's probably going to get the flu next and then me next. And I'm just like, man, come on, bring on spring. I just want to get me outside. I got so many ideas. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I love getting out in the yard. And it is definitely, I think all of us kind of share that where it's definitely our hobby, and it's, you know, I don't know, makes us happy. It helps us decompress at the end of a long week. Our approach is different than somebody who's doing this day in and day out. Now, granted, Ollie, he's out there, it seems like every day. He's got such a massive yard. He's basically a landscaper almost. But yeah, I mean, it is definitely almost. Soon as I stop enjoying it, I'll be done. You know what I mean? I'm doing this until I stop enjoying it, or until people stop watching it, you know? So, yeah. So, but I think get out in the yard will always be, I mean, until I'm too old, I guess, something that, you know, helps you relax, I think. And everybody's has their thing and they enjoy it. And thankfully ours, you know, folks sometimes find it satisfying to watch guys like us cut some grass.
Peter, what does your lawn look like?
Ooh, well, yeah. I do not live in my hometown of Springfield, Illinois anymore. And I live in San Diego, California. And the only people that have lawns live in one neighborhood.
Up on the hills or something.
And I don't live in that neighborhood. So no, there's no lawn here.
You guys have like the rocks and the cactuses and stuff. Or
exactly. Need water to grow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, but would you guys say lawn? Would you guys say mow day is Saturday or Sunday?
Oh, there's more than one mow day.
Oh man,
more than one mow day.
Oh yeah, two minimum.
three times a week usually.
Okay,
you got that coveted week. But
if you had to dedicate a day on the weekend to the lawn, which one is it? Saturday or is it Sunday?
I'm more Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday guy.
If I can get it in Saturday, and then you can kind of enjoy the Saturday afternoon, Sunday, and mm-hmm. you know, be out in the yard or, you know, whatever, have the kids riding their bikes, chill, fart around. That's what I'm looking for. But you know, if it's raining, Sunday's there too. That's what it's there for. You know, you gotta do what you gotta do. What about you guys, Zach? Do you agree?
Yeah, Saturday's a good one. Then you know, nice day out, can be grilling, having a couple mm-hmm. beers. Mm-hmm. You know,
Saturday is better for me too.
There you go.
Sunday game football in the fall. So
yeah, Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean the Super Bowl is next Sunday, or no, not no, two Sundays.
Go 49ers.
Oh no,
can't be mowing.
Jeez.
My daughter, we watched the playoffs, and my daughter's like, just so you know, I'm going to be probably cheering for the Chiefs on the Super Bowl. I was like, why? Because of Taylor Swift? Yeah.
It's like, real, man. Right. My wife is, she was sitting with me watching the playoffs, and I don't know, she's into it, man. The Taylor and the Kelsey's, and she was watching the Eagles games with me. I mean, you know, she's into it, man. And we're going to have a little Super Bowl party with some friends. I'm down, man. This has been, I'm all for it, man. Get my wife into it, and we can hang out and watch football together on the weekends. I like that.
So speaking of that, you know how they had kind of had that controversy last year?
The turf.
Yeah. So they just released this a few days ago. So
have you seen, like, I've seen a lot of pictures and videos of the progress of the new turf and where they're at with it and everything. And it looks amazing.
I haven't looked. Do we know?
I can't remember which page it is.
Right there. But, some a little bit of it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those where they rolled out. So it gets the sunlight. It's
scary that they had to say that they're confident.
Right. That just shows how in the beginning it was, yeah.
We're obviously confident in our grass being good this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've learned the errors of our ways.
Well, that was always one of my favorite parts about being in the sports industry was, you know, being on the field. Just being not a fan, but working all the time during the games and everything, but being on the field, just being eye level with the turf, and it's being on the turf is totally different experience. And just the grass was always pristine. The lines were the precise lines. I mean, it's the NFL. It's a $400 billion industry, you know, or something like that. So it's like, in the amount of money that they spend and the amount of care and the person that's running the show for the turf is extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy to think how much you have to consider, not just like the playability of the fields, the durability throughout the game, but just the appearance on television too. Like, how will it look on screen, you know, and versus, you know, daytime games, evening games, you know, and I don't know. There's a lot to go into it. And those guys, I mean, yeah, they're the real deal. And we talked to the folks at the Rose Bowl. And the amount of knowledge behind those teams is just incredible. It's like, as you get more into this DIY stuff, and I don't know about you guys, but, you know, it's like the more I, let me look into this a little bit, let me look into Mike Rose. You just realize, like, this is a whole, I mean, agriculture is its whole thing. Like, I've done medicine and pharmacy, but this is like, it's that, but for plants. And it's just incredible how much science there is to all this stuff. And, you know, there's just so much to learn. It's incredible. These guys are, yeah, they're pros in their own field for sure. Yeah.
It's a big asset. Because I think Brian, you were saying you once lived in Arizona. That's, I think they were the first ones that did that whole turf science, rolling it out, you know, keeping it stored in a climate controlled environment and all that kind of stuff.
I guess there would be a place you'd have to really have some science to it to keep it green, especially if it's, yeah, you don't have a dome or something.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, man. So what, go ahead.
No, they're talking about who has what sport has the best course or best turf.
Hmm. Oh, I would say baseball, probably.
Neat said soccer, and I agree with soccer.
Soccer, actually, you're right. It's more, there's more of it, I'd say.
But baseball does have some sick ones.
Dynamic too. Baseball's different. Everything, the whole aesthetic is different every time with baseball.
To me, like, I don't know why more football fields don't do like something with striping, like something like a big old like checker pattern or something. And I know you got your yard lines and all that, so I'm not saying like go against the grid,
mm-hmm.
but like angle mode or something to make it look different. You know, and every once in a while you'll see a couple stadiums that do that, but I don't know. There's not enough of it in football.
That would be a cool way to get it to kind of stand out. You know, it's like, that's a little different. You know, you don't see that every day, especially if it's, as long as the pattern's not too confusing, I guess, for the detail.
Yeah.
There could be some pushback there. Whereas in soccer, maybe because the play is so, you know, like basketball all over the place, whereas football, maybe the patterns and the lineups have to be so more precise. Maybe, I don't know.
They could have like when the hockey has the Zamboni coming in between periods, they just have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We talked to people, or no, we talked to Tuckahoe and they told us about Green Bay's field.
Yeah. The stitching.
They run the stitching and they run the heat lamps. And they actually have heating underneath it to keep it warm.
It's crazy.
And melt snow. That's crazy. And it's real. So